Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at WVHTF.org.
The West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers. Online at WVAFLCIO.org.
At the legislature today, crossover day is on Wednesday. That's when all the bills need to be passed by the House of Origin. House bills need to be in the Senate, and Senate bills need to be in the House. It makes for some long days for legislators. And what is zombie debt? It's the nickname of a consumer protection bill. These stories coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Beth Voorhees. More than 20 bills passed through the Senate this morning during the floor session by unanimous approval, with the exception of one, a bill regulating the retrofitting of gas or diesel-fueled vehicles for alternative fuels, received four Republican nays. It was two bills held over for further consideration this afternoon, however, that took center stage as Senate leadership debated how to move forward. Ashton Mara explains.
Avid watchers of the legislative process in West Virginia know the Senate has a reputation for being more quiet, more calm than its counterpart across the rotunda, particularly when it comes to matters on the floor. Senators often vote as a body as well, as seen by action taken on Senate Bill 623 today, requiring all failed drug test notifications be sent to the State Office of Minors Health, Safety, and Training.
Under current law, a notification is only required when a minor is discharged based on a positive test. I urge passage of the bill.
The bill passed unanimously with one senator absent. But then there are times when questions on the floor halt the entire process, drawing leadership to the podium to discuss the next steps. Today, those podium-side meetings were a little more common than usual. One bill drawing such a meeting was Senate Bill 317. The bill, as introduced, would prevent municipalities from passing any ordinance regulating guns or ammunition. The legislation comes from negotiations last year over the Home Rule Bill. The city of Charleston had on the books a decades-old ordinance regulating the number of days a person had to wait between handgun purchases. Debates between the House and Senate forced them to abandon the regulation in order to keep home rule. But in the Senate Judiciary last week, members tried to reinsert the city's ability to create gun regulations. Republican Senator David Seipolt disagreed with the change.
I believe that the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and also Article 3, Section 22 of the West Virginia Constitution guarantees certain rights, gun rights, and that we shouldn't have a hodgepodge of laws across the state. We should have one law for one state so it's equal across all counties and all municipalities.
Senators pushed a vote on the bill until the afternoon session, awaiting an agreement between the National Rifle Association, the West Virginia Municipal League, and Senate leaders on amended language.
The engrossed committee substitute for Senate Bill 552, increasing penalty related to transporting illegal controlled substances into state. Third reading of the bill.
Senate Bill 552 was read a third time and explained by Senator Corey Palumbo, as any bill during a typical session.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 552 would change the penalty for illegally transporting Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 narcotic drugs in West Virginia from an indeterminate term of 1 to 15 to a determinate sentence of not more than 15 years. The effect of this would be to give judges more discretion and allow for the possibility of increasing the minimum time for parole eligibility. I urge passage of the bill.
Senator Bob Plymel rose in support of the bill, commending the Judiciary Chair on his work. He explained the bill came as a request from Huntington's Chief of Police.
We've got an issue in Huntington related to heroin, and by allowing this to be, as he explained, it will make it much greater penalties that they can do on distribution.
But before a vote, Senator Clark Barnes rose to question how a reference in the bill affected pseudoephedrine charges, a drug that would become a Schedule IV controlled substance if Senate Bill 6 is passed by the House. The session essentially came to a standstill as Palumbo and his attorney searched for an answer. Ultimately, leadership chose to move the bill to the afternoon session before putting it to a vote to work to clarify the language in the bill. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in the Senate.
And both of those bills will lie over in the Senate until tomorrow. Today, the House floor session was delayed nearly 2 hours as the Democrats held a caucus. The main topic of debate was the controversial Attorney General Ethics and Accountability Act. The House took up the bill late this afternoon as delegates debated amendments to the bill. As explained by House Judiciary Chairman Tim Manchin, the amendment strikes anything dealing with a prohibition on submitting friends of the court briefs without the approval of the governor or legislative leadership. The bill still addresses the funds received through court cases be directed to the General Revenue Fund. Other amendments were defeated as Republicans attempted to expand the Attorney General's powers. The GOP charged that the bill oversteps constitutional bounds and is a vindictive ploy and partisan attack by Democrats toward the current Attorney General Patrick Morrisey, a Republican. The bill does establish guidelines for conflict of interest and the hiring of attorneys general. The bill was passed on a vote of 52-44. Other bills being debated today, including the Dangerous Wild Animals Act, that bill was passed. Among the other bills passed in the House today relating to production, distribution, and sale of industrial hemp. One bill on first reading relates to protecting consumers from debt collectors by using a pop culture reference to bring awareness to the issue. Aaron Payne reports.
House Bill 4360 prohibits the collection of zombie debts. Zombie debts are defined as an attempt to collect the debt for which the statute of limitations has passed. The introduced bill chose to define these debts as zombie debts because they appear when presumably they should be dead. Chairman of the House Banking and Insurance Committee Cliff Moore explains that the bill's intended purpose is to protect honest elderly people who may not know what the statute of limitations means.
If your mother's elderly and she gets a call from a debt company 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that a debt was created many, many, many years ago, she would have a tendency to pay that. But the statute says you don't have to do that because it's a dead deal. And so we just reinforce what the statute already says.
The subcommittee for the bill recommended 4 amendments, including setting the debt collection limit at 10 years. Delegate Mark Hunt, a member of the subcommittee, said that this was included because it is already the standard.
Contracts have a 10-year statute of limitations. So after that 10-year statute of limitations, I can no longer be sued on that contract. But, of course, in 100% of the cases, I would have already been sued on the contract if I failed to make my payments. So we chose 10 years. That's the outward limit that a person is going to have the ability to file some type of legal proceeding, whether it be a suit, whether it be some type of garnishment, whether it be some type of lien, it's going to be 10 years.
The committee approved the bill and sent it on to a second reference by the House Judiciary Committee. On Friday, the committee added clear language to the bill, which prohibits the collection of debts if the statute of limitations has expired, it is no longer owned by the original obligee or successor by merger or acquisition, has been sold or otherwise transferred by the original obligee to a debt collector, and the debtor has made no payment for the last 10 years. It was approved by the committee and today is currently on first reading. It will be up for full vote on Wednesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Aaron Payne in the House.
In a moment, we'll find out from law enforcement and the U.S. attorney about the extent of heroin use in West Virginia and what the legislature is trying to do about it. First, here's a look at what's coming up in the Senate tomorrow. Among the bills up for passage, Senate Joint Resolution No. 12, proposing an amendment to the state constitution to claim the state's water resources for the use and benefit of the citizens of West Virginia. Senate Bill 202, to authorize the creation and recognition of benefit corporations in the state. Senate Bill 254, to regulate equine boarding facilities by the Department of Agriculture. Senate Bill 391, the governor's bill to provide a 2% pay increase to all county board employees and to bring the state minimum pay scale pay grade for service personnel back within equity. Senate Bill 409, the governor's bill to align school and school system accreditation, establish critical need alternative teaching certificates, modernize the school bus fleet by adding propane as an alternative fuel, and address transferability of college credits. Senate Bill 419, to provide immunity from certain offenses for a person who seeks health care for someone or for himself or herself who is experiencing a drug overdose. Senate Bill 455, to create the West Virginia Move to Improve Act to require more physical activity for public school students. Senate Bill 523, providing for an additional state veteran skilled nursing facility in Beckley. Senate Bill 579, to improve housing development and land use in West Virginia by providing an option to all municipalities, counties, or combinations to create a land trust program in order to eliminate blight and address vacant, delinquent, or foreclosed properties. Senate Bill 602, requiring health care providers to wear ID badges. And Senate Bill 628, to create the Healthy Children and Healthy Communities Act to facilitate public and private partnerships to develop healthy communities and encourage physical activity and physical education. On second reading in the Senate tomorrow, House Bill 4350, to provide for the awarding of a West Virginia Veteran Service Decoration and a West Virginia Service Cross and Ribbon to qualifying West Virginia veterans. Since the death of actor Philip Seymour Hoffman of a heroin overdose in his New York apartment earlier this month, there's been a lot of attention paid to this harrowing drug problem. It's been reported that heroin is a very serious issue in West Virginia. Now we learn to what extent. Joining us tonight is Booth Goodwin, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of West Virginia, and Captain Tim Bledsoe of the West Virginia State Police. Gentlemen, welcome. Captain Bledsoe, what do you do for the State Police exactly?
Right now, I'm currently assigned as the Troop 8 Commander, which is our Bureau of Criminal Investigations. That's typically our troopers who are assigned in plainclothes assignments, whether it be on a drug task force or some kind of specialized criminal investigation.
All right. So we want to know the extent of the heroin problem in West Virginia. What is the extent of it?
Well, I'll tell you, Beth, because of our very real addiction to prescription pain pills, those are opiate-based drugs. Mm-hmm. Heroin is also an opiate-based drug. So naturally, the addiction flows from one into another. And we've had some very key successes in addressing the prescription pill problem. And now we're seeing this upsurge in heroin.
Mm-hmm. Where is the heroin? I've heard it's in southern West Virginia, it's in the eastern panhandle. Where is it? Where do you see the pockets of the problems?
I think traditionally what you will see first is the rise in heroin being predominantly in areas that are located in close proximity to a source city, which would be a larger metropolitan area like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Columbus. Those are typically the cities where the larger distributors push the drugs out, and then they slowly but surely make it to the smaller communities, which, you know, in turn affects West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And like Booth just pointed out, the prescription pill problem that we've experienced in West Virginia has really made the climate here susceptible to the heroin addiction because it is an opiate-based drug.
Mm-hmm. I understand heroin is cheaper than prescription drug pills.
Oh, it sure is. Pills can go for easily $1 a milligram on the street, sometimes many more. But heroin, much cheaper, but it's also more potent. And you don't know what you're getting with heroin. That's the real danger. I mean, it could be 20% potency or 80% potency, and you won't know. It could be mixed with other drugs, and you won't know. With a pill, while it's never safe to abuse drugs, you know that you're getting 80 milligrams of oxycodone in an 80 milligram oxycodone pill. Mm-hmm. With heroin, totally different story.
Mm-hmm. And seeing photos and pictures of heroin on television surrounding the actor's death, I see these little packets. They're little packets, and they're stamped with Ace of Hearts or Ace of Spades. And they're tiny little packets. Somebody has to be taking the heroin and somewhere packaging them in these convenient, tiny little packages. Do you know anything about that? Who's doing that? Where it's, where that's done and how?
That would, again, typically be something that's done either prior to the drug making it into this country, yeah, or prior, okay, to it making it into this region.
Oh, really?
That is something that's done in the packaging process, which is very important. It is a very important point for West Virginia. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be part of that process. Right now, we're definitely affected by heroin, but we're not considered a source area. And that is something that we really want to push, mm-hmm, to make sure that we don't become a source area for this type of drug. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some work. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot of effort on the part of everyone, but I definitely think that it's something that we can prevent.
Let's take on some of the issues regarding this in front of the legislature right now. You heard in Ashton Mara's report in the Senate today, stricter sentencing guidelines for folks who bring in heroin or other drugs from other cities. Is that enough? Will that do a job?
Well, we can't arrest our way out of this problem. I mean, that's a very key proposal. And certainly in my business, in Tim's business, obviously we prosecute the bad guys and send them to jail. But we've got to be every bit as much about trying to prevent the problem from becoming greater. And that's why, we're doing things like reaching out to schools, and why I'm hosting, along with legislative leaders, officials from the medical community, rehabilitation community, a heroin roundtable. Tim and I are going to mm-hmm. be joined by those folks. We're going to host that this Wednesday at 5:30 at the federal courthouse here in Charleston. Mm-hmm. So we've got to approach this issue from a lot of different angles, because it's much too big to arrest and prosecute our way out.
What do you hope to discuss at this roundtable on Wednesday?
Well, obviously, we want to address what has been done, what where we are having successes, but what more could be done, not just on the prosecution end of things, or the supply reduction, if you will, but how do we reduce demand? How do we get people off of this horrible addiction train? Mm-hmm. And those are the things that we're going to be discussing, and what more efforts need to be done in that regard.
There is a bill to provide naloxone, which is some sort of countermeasure to drug overdoses. That's before the legislature right now. Other states are also considering it. What is this, and what does it do? How is it administered?
Well, naloxone is an antidote, if you will, yeah, and it's being used in great amounts by the emergency medical technicians, the EMTs, and we would have far more overdose deaths if it weren't being used by them. I mean, if you talk to Charleston police, we probably have 3 to 6 overdose deaths a day if we didn't have this available. This is to get it more widely available, okay? And that's a good thing. Wouldn't you agree, Tim?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And just like Booth touched on a minute ago, that getting into the schools, the education process that goes along with this is so important, that we reach out to our children, our middle school age mm-hmm. children, and get this message out there and let them see, just how important this is, that the decisions they're making involving these types of drugs mm-hmm. and what the effect can be. We don't want it to come to that, certainly, to where they experience this themselves. So hopefully the stories, the real life events that can be relayed to them will make a difference, and hopefully makes positive change for them.
And we do know in this state there are a lot of children who are affected by drug abuse and drug use by parents. You see that.
Unfortunately, that is very true. Mm-hmm. But and Booth and I have talked about this a lot. the thing about heroin is, traditionally, the stigma with heroin is it's a dirty, dirty drug. It's really? It comes with a lot of poverty and a lot of a lot of negative things, which is good. You know, you don't want people to think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's not typically a drug that someone will try for the first time without being a prior drug abuser.
Oh, really?
So it's more at the, I want to say more, wouldn't you agree, but more of a bottom, when someone's reached bottom,
really,
they're on heroin.
It's where you go when you've hit bottom.
Yes. Oh. And so if we can get to these kids and educate them early on to where they don't use the drugs that typically we find that kids get introduced to drug use with, hopefully they'll never reach the heroin.
One of the bills making its way through the legislature, at least in the Senate, is this notion that if you yourself overdose on drugs, or you know somebody who has or who is overdosing on drugs right now, mm-hmm. that there is an immunity if you seek emergency assistance, if you take the person to the hospital, mm-hmm. if you call 911 on yourself. And it almost seems like you're forgiving the person who is taking the drug and overdosing on it. Now, there was a lot of immunity to the bill. Some of it was taken back. But what about an issue like that? Does that help?
Well, sure. What we're trying to do is keep people from overdosing and dying. Anything that we can do in that regard is a good thing. It really is. And that's why we've attacked the prescription drug crisis and now this upsurge in heroin with the vigor that we have, because these are the drugs that people are overdosing and dying on. It really has no equal in that regard. So anything that we can do to keep people from overdosing and dying, I think we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Do you feel that your bureau is making progress on this front? Or do you find yourself getting frustrated every day that it's a bigger monster than you can slay?
Well, I think any police officer who has dealt with drugs and drug enforcement on a daily basis will tell you that it definitely gets frustrating. There are definitely trying days when you question sometimes, am I making a difference?
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely believe that, yes. You know, I think that the Bureau of Criminal Investigations, the state police, and the task forces that we partner with out here are definitely making a difference, because we are aware of this. We know what we're facing. I think police officers in general are more comfortable in how they approach an investigation on an illicit drug like heroin, as opposed to maybe prescription pills, where sometimes you get into a gray area where you're not sure what might be legal and what might not.
You know that heroin is illegal.
Absolutely.
Booth Goodwin, U.S. Attorney, and also Captain Tim Bledsoe of the State Police, thank you very much. Interesting conversation. I appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Beth.
Thank you, Beth.
And here's a look at what's coming up in the House tomorrow. Up for passage in the House, Senate Bill 603, to improve coal mine health and safety. The bill requires automatic shutoff when a machine-mounted methane monitor indicates a methane concentration. House Bill 4001, the Government Fraud Prevention Act, the new name for the False Claims Act, dealing with fraud and abuse in the Medicaid program. House Bill 4245, requiring health-related professional licensing boards to request their licensees provide the boards with their anticipated retirement dates in order to facilitate planning for future workforce needs for healthcare professionals. House Bill 4256, the governor's bill to increase the annual salary schedule for members of the West Virginia State Police beginning July 1st, 2014. Among the bills on second reading in the House tomorrow, House Bill 2446, making the crime of soliciting a minor a felony. House Bill 4141, to repeal the statutory provision which authorizes the state tax commissioner to issue business licenses for the purpose of selling drug paraphernalia, to void licenses already issued, and to prohibit the sales on and after July 1st, 2014. House Bill 4184, the governor's bill to permanently extend the West Virginia tourism Tourism Development Act. House Bill 4204 prohibits the non-renewal or cancellation of a property insurance coverage policy as a result of certain claims arising from weather events. House Bill 4267, to legalize and regulate the sale and use of fireworks, and imposing a 20% fee for the sale of fireworks for deposit into the Veterans Program Fund, the Fire Protection Fund, and the State Fire Commission's Special Revenue Account. House Bill 4327, to prohibit health care practitioners from knowingly and in bad faith prescribing or administering drugs in a manner not in accordance with the accepted medical standards and providing felony criminal penalties for violations. House Bill 4346, to establish separate standards of performance for carbon dioxide emissions from existing coal-fired electric generating units and natural gas-fired electric generating units. House Bill 4411, relating to the disposal of drill cuttings and associated drilling waste generated from well sites at commercial solid waste facilities. House Bill 4501, allowing school security officers to carry firearms on school property. And House Bill 4588, prohibiting abortion after 20 weeks post-fertilization, except when the mother has a medical emergency. We are having some video technical difficulties. We do apologize. This has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, we'll learn more about philanthropy in West Virginia. Our guests will be Paul Daugherty and Becky Sepperly with an organization that promotes philanthropic endeavors in the state. We welcome your comments. You can email us at feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at WV Public News and find us on Facebook. I'm Beth Voorhees. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for the Legislature Today provided by the West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers, online at WVAFLCIO.org, and by the High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Details at WVHTF.org.